From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. We got a fun show coming up today. We're going to talk about movies going on in DeKalb County, how you can get involved, some affordable housing programs here in DeKalb, as well as a little bit of sports. We got some folks from SEC country in here. So we got a lot to talk about coming up over the next 30, 45 minutes. Before we get to our panel, I want to remind you that DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. You follow us on Twitter, at DeKalb Radio X. Make sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. You can listen live each Friday at 10 and noon here at DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. And if you miss it live, you can download our free podcasts on our site, or they're a free download on iTunes. Of course, this edition, as always, brought to you by the Bornelis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967 or check out the link on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. So let's get to our panel. We'll start with Ara Bedell. She's the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Decide DeKalb Development Authority. You can find them online, DecideDeKalb.com. Ara, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
So we were talking just before we went on the air about this program you guys have had that, not quite a year it's been going on, but helping people to afford houses here in DeKalb.
That is correct. So we have a program called We DeKalb, and it launched in October 2014. Our manager of that program is Barry Williams. And in this program, if you are in the market for a home in DeKalb, you are eligible for up to 5% in down payment or closing cost assistance. So there are income requirements for that. Ours is very competitive in that it is not a combined total household income requirement. You can make, say, $81,000 and be eligible for this program under the FHA. And it's, I think, about $95,000 under the VA. And the mortgage cap, I believe, for the FHA is $324,000, I believe. And in this program, if you are interested in moving here, you would contact Decide DeKalb, and we would put you in touch with lenders. We have an extensive list of lenders, and that group of lenders is growing. We partner with them extensively in the community to get the word out. Just to give you a little background, this program is available to anyone. You can use it as a refinance tool. You can use it as a new home buyer. But we target primarily employers. We see this as a fantastic recruitment and retention tool for our employers here in DeKalb.
It's very cool. We look forward to talking more with you about that coming up over the course of the show. Our second guest is Vince Thompson. He's the founder. He's the chairman. He is the CEO of Melt. They're online, meltatl.com. Tell us a little bit about what you do, the companies you're working with, the events that you're helping with. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we've been blessed. College sports is a huge business, as you know. We were all talking about it before we got them live on the air. And we're basically a full-service advertising agency that focuses on companies that advertise in the collegiate sports space. And we've been very fortunate to have represented the Coca-Cola company for 15 years in their investments in college sports, in the student athlete. And so it's a fun season for us right now.
So you're just dealing with small businesses like Coke, you know, whatever, just little old Coke. How did you get to this point? What's your background?
Well, you know, I went to Auburn to be a sports writer. And I realized that back in the day, the lifestyle of the sports writer was probably not something that I wanted to pursue. And so was lucky to get into the sports marketing business and have basically been in it my entire professional life. We've been in business for 15 years, and the South and Atlanta, you know, between the sports and entertainment, is driving a lot of the economic development with the movies and the film and the TV. The major venues that are under construction in this city, whether it be the Falcons, the Braves, what the Hawks are going to do, Kennesaw State, Lake Point, in between the movie and film. It's a big driver. It's a good time to be in the business.
Okay, well, easy segue. When they say misery loves company, from the Auburn grad to the Georgia grad, it hasn't been particularly good times for either school the past couple weeks. Chris Chancey from Amplio Recruiting. You used to be the Harry Dog mascot.
Yeah. Had a short stint as Harry Dog, and incredible experience to be under the SEC lights. And you know, I didn't have to worry about my likeness being stolen or being sold to anyone. So at least I didn't have have that fear.
How does it feel to play second fiddle when you're the mascot playing second fiddle to the other mascot, Ugga?
Hey, we share the spotlight equally. He gets a little house with some ice to sit on. It was pretty hot for me.
Now, be honest, he's got a better life than we do.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pampered. It's ridiculous. You're the CEO. You're the founder of Amplio Recruiting. This is a for-profit recruiting business, but you work with refugees. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so here in DeKalb, we're one of the largest refugee resettlement communities in the country. And so refugees have been in the news a lot from the situation going on in Syria. But here in Clarkston, a community in DeKalb, they've been resettled here for a little over 20 years. And so CNN has called that the most diverse square mile in the world right here in DeKalb County. So we work with companies all over DeKalb to help them hire skilled labor from those refugees that have been resettled here and help them find meaningful work.
It's something we're hearing a lot about in the news. You mentioned the Syrian refugees. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands coming out right now, and many of those coming to America. There are challenges when they come over here trying to get them placed in a job. A lot of them are not speaking the language, for instance.
Yeah, certainly. There's some great resettlement agencies here in DeKalb that do a great job connecting people with everything they need to get off the ground. But unfortunately, a lot of the job training stops at just training. And so if we can pick it up from there and work with some of those nonprofits and help these people find meaningful work. I mean, a lot of them have incredible experience in different fields, have grad degrees on different levels. And so instead of them waiting for Domino's to call them on the weekend and deliver a pizza, we're hoping they can find something that is in their skill set and experience and really help them move forward.
That's awesome. We'll look forward to talking more about that. Again, you can find them online, Amplio. That's A-M-P-L-I-O, AmplioRecruiting.com. They're on Twitter at Amplio_recruit. Let's get back with Arab Adel, again, the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Decide DeKalb Development Authority. How many people have taken advantage or are in the process of taking advantage of this affordable housing program you have going on?
In October of last year. However, the marketing campaign has really just started to ramp up, and we're receiving numerous inquiries into it. So far, I believe I could say 30 so far in the last few months that we've been out campaigning and getting the word out. We have been meeting with various organizations like DeKalb County Government to get the word out with their employees. We've met with DeKalb Medical Center this week. So we're really taking a grassroots approach to getting the word out about the program.
When you're able to have a program like that and obviously trying to entice businesses to move into or move jobs into DeKalb County, what's been the response?
Very excited. Very excited. You have to understand when you relocate many of these families to another area, there's nothing quite refreshing than having an additional boost with down payment and closing costs to make it all better. So that helps in their decision making. So the employers have been quite excited about this program.
You guys are hard at work over at the Development Authority. Tell us about some of the recent wins you've had.
Well, most recently, you've probably heard about what we're doing with Atlanta United FC.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited about that project. We see that as potentially helping us attract even more businesses with regards to sports. And so that deal is still in development. We closed with Acuity Brands, which is one of the world's largest lighting companies. So that's going to be attracting 250 additional jobs here to the area. Cox Communications is also growing their business here in DeKalb. So a lot, the number of companies that are coming to us more and more is quite refreshing. So we're very excited.
Tell us a little bit more about that Atlanta United FC deal, because right before that happened, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, Cobb's getting the Braves, mm-hmm. Fulton has the Falcons, Gwinnett has some minor league teams. Everybody's got something but DeKalb.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, here we are getting the training grounds and the home offices for Atlanta United FC.
Right.
What is it going to mean to bring a professional sports franchise to the county?
It's going to mean a lot. I mean, I think about, you know, some of the millennials that are going to be interested in this. I think about the global impact of this. This is a facility that's attracting people from all over the world to come use it. We have such great accessibility to transit. So from the airport to transit to that facility is going to be a great win. We see complementary businesses.
Talk a little bit about that, because when you put it there, obviously part of the plan is to have some youth tournaments, whether it's soccer or lacrosse, on those fields. they need a place to stay or eat.
Right. So we are receiving inquiries now. Obviously, with a lot of the deals that we have, things are, you know, kind of can't be spoken of until they're closed. But we get a lot of interest. It is our hope that we can attract, you know, the necessary complements to Atlanta United FC. A little known fact, I didn't know if you knew this, I believe the first Home Depot is right across the street from where this is. So this is a quite a great full circle story for Arthur Blank. But it's going to be a great thing for the youth in DeKalb County, because soccer is huge, it's growing. It's going to put us on a global landscape. And as he mentioned earlier, this is one of the most diverse counties in the region. And soccer is very, very much a sport of interest to this community.
Give us a picture of what that land looks like right now. Were there any plans for that land? Is it just sitting vacant and this opportunity comes up?
Right. So it was that whole area was in need of significant development. And so this is, it's a refreshing win for the county. Right now, I haven't been there recently, but things are pacing quite nicely. We are on task to make sure that this gets off the ground by 2017. So stay tuned. But yes, it was an area that is quite desperate and thirsty for development, and this is going to help spark that.
Well, we'll look forward to getting back with you. But while we're on the topic of stadiums and athletic venues, I do want to get to Vince Thompson for Melt, because we got the Mercedes-Benz Falcon Stadium, whatever the official name is going to be, but Mercedes-Benz is the sponsor of the new Falcon Stadium. What's that going to mean for the Atlanta area when it comes to sports?
Well, it's a massive deal. First of all, if you look at from a big picture, the reported fees on it are approaching north of $300 million on the size of the deal. Mm-hmm. So it's a record breaker in that respect. If you look at it in an overall larger picture of Mercedes' relocation of their corporate headquarters to Atlanta, how all of those economic incentives, the construction of the facility, the teams, the television, the major events that will be occurring in the new dome, including major soccer championships. It's massive and it's substantial. And then to her point, soccer with the metro area, one of the largest soccer markets in the country. If you look at the growth and maturity of the soccer in this country, it's about two decades old now, 20 years. You look at one of our major clients, Coca-Cola Company, actually shifted some dollars out of the NBA into a league sponsorship of MLS.
Wow.
I think that's a tribute to the popularity of the sport. I think it's a tribute to the growth of the soccer in the Atlanta community. I think it's a tribute to the location of the United franchise, both in DeKalb County. Obviously, there's tons of employees of the Coca-Cola Company that live in DeKalb County in Decatur. And so if you kind of look at it from a global perspective, with the Mercedes deal, with Mr. Blank investing in the team, in the venue, in the Falcons, in Major League Soccer, in totality, back to what you were talking about earlier, soccer is one of the major drivers of the growth. Sports overall is a major driver, and then it gives our city and our metro area and DeKalb County and Decatur the ability to attract, recruit, and retain a new generation of workers into our area, i.e. the millennial workforce, who grew up on soccer, unlike the last generation that may have grown up on more traditional sports.
Obviously, as we talk about the big fish, they might be looking to land there at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Is a Super Bowl. We're not going to find out until next May whether that's going to happen or not, although we were told that it wouldn't happen unless we got a new stadium. So hopefully that happens. But one of the things that we are looking forward to is a college football Final Four game, maybe eventually the championship game. And it was what we were talking about earlier, the growth of college football across the Southeast.
Yeah, and if I were a betting man, I would tell you that that there probably will be a Super Bowl in this community over the next 4 to 6 years. There will be a national football college championship in this town. And if you analyze the corporate base of corporations in here, arguably 20 to 40% of the dollars spent on ESPN probably emanate out of the Atlanta metro area. If you look at Home Depot, UPS, AT&T, Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, Popeyes, a Coca-Cola company, you know, it's the College Football Hall of Fame basically relocated here because of the corporate support and within the overall, you know, community of Atlanta. More than likely, you'll have an MLS World Championship. More than likely, one day you may even have the World Cup here, which obviously, who knows, you may have another Olympics here, mm-hmm. based on the quality of the venues and the and you know, to your point, it's an international community. The transit system over a period of time is going to improve. The airport's a big driver of that. So not only in the college space, which is fun, and you know, we'll have to figure out a new mascot role for him, maybe for the soccer team or something like
there
that.
You go.
But you know, it's we're very bullish on what sports is doing to drive a lot of job employment opportunities. I mean, our firm Melt is a tribute to that. I mean, we work in and around sports and sports marketing, and we're able to employ, you know 60 full-time people working against the business of sports, and so we've been blessed in that respect.
How do you reach out at this point to new clients and get your name out there? Is it all based on the body of work that you have, or is there a strategy?
Well, I'd like to tell you there's a strategy, but you know, it's you know, you don't ever relax on your new business acquisition. You don't take anything for granted. But social media and technology has made it a lot easier to promote your company and promote your organizations and the things that you're doing traditional ways. It's also important that you organize your culture in that you want people that want to work for you and that you want people that want to talk about going to work for you. And so we do have a fun company and a fun job and fun environments that we work in, but it's gotten a lot. The playing field is so much more level than in the old days when you had just traditional ways to get the word out about your business or you were hiring or those types of things. We do refer on a lot of rely on a lot of word of mouth now, credibility, relationships. We have a very aggressive intern program where we provide real-time job opportunities for a lot of kids coming out of the local schools. Had a lot from Georgia and a lot of the SEC schools and Georgia State and Kennesaw State and some of that nature as well. So the playing field is very level, which gives all of us an opportunity to talk about the quality of work that we do and encourage others to work with us in some capacity.
Before we move on to Chris Jancy, I do want to ask you, you talk about hiring, you talk about millennials, and is it a challenge to find the right type of worker? I guess the internship program probably helps you, but you got a company that I think a lot of people would look at and say, man, that sounds like fun. I'm working with big companies and sports, and maybe you're not attracting the right type.
Well, there's a lot of challenges and opportunities in recruiting and working within the millennial force right now. First of all, the level of sophistication that they have through them, these guys being digital natives, is completely off the charts. The level of expectations that they have are completely off the charts. The level of speed of which they make decisions, and you have to customize your work environment around who they are, as opposed to the traditional.
That's not the way it used to be.
Well, no, and if you look at sort of a generational divider line within our company now, you've got, you know, what I'll call the adults in the room north of 40 that may have families and new families at home, and then you've got the quote unquote the kids in the room. But I read a stat the other day, which I don't know where it came from, but like our parents may have changed jobs 3 times in life. My generation may have changed jobs 7 or 8. The millennial generation may change jobs up to 30 times. Mm. And so it's a huge challenge to keep them satisfied, keep continuity within your organization, and maintain the culture, which it will encourage these kids to want to stay longer and contribute. But on the other side, we get a lot of key learnings from these millennials on how to market back to them, as opposed to me sitting in an ivory tower trying to figure it out. And my 15-year-old son has probably provided as much marketing insight to me as any focus group I've ever attended.
That makes a lot of sense. You can find them online, meltatl.com. They're on Twitter, @meltatl. At Vinny Inc, V-I-N-N-Y Inc is Vince Thompson's Twitter handle. They're on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. Vince Thompson from Melt Marketing will talk with you a little bit more coming up. toward the end of the show. But we'll get back with Chris Chancy, again, the founder and the CEO of Amplio Recruiting. You put refugees to work in DeKalb County. Why is that important to the county?
Oh, there's several reasons. I mean, most obvious is that if they're working in DeKalb, they're going to be taking home paychecks and they'll be able to pay taxes, spend that money on local, you know, restaurants and other things. I think a lot of times we think of a refugee, even if we kind of understand what that means, you just kind of get an image in your head of someone who just might be just fearful of life or just hasn't had a lot of opportunities. But I mean, most of the people I'm meeting with totally debunk that theory. I mean, they're excited to be here and they're looking forward to opportunities to, you know, enjoy time with their family, go to parks, go to, you know, sporting events. They'll be the first ones in line at the soccer matches for United FC, going to local restaurants. So they'll be spending their money here in DeKalb. But certainly if we can decrease, you know, the unemployment rates here and continue to bring businesses into this area because they know there's a reliable workforce that they can hire, that's going to have a big impact as well.
I want to get back to the cultural differences, the cultural challenges. I speak English and Spanish. You know, people who speak French or German, but you got a lot of people coming in from places like Syria, from places where it's not languages that are taught in our high schools, and it's got to be hard to find the right people, whether it's translators or whoever else, to get them assimilated and ready for jobs, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great point. But, you know, what we've seen is that's a really great dividing factor. Those who are willing to jump in and learn English, there's lots of places in the community that are teaching English as a second language. Those who are willing to put in the time and the effort to you know, learn English well, those are the ones that you can be willing to bet they're going to be the hardest workers when they get an opportunity to have an interview and show up at a job. They're going to be the ones that are most reliable and loyal and really stick with it.
I want to ask you about the types of companies where you're placing refugees in jobs, but also what's the response from these companies that you're going to? Because I would imagine maybe not everyone goes along with it.
Sure. Yeah, there's varying degrees. But I think there's so many companies at this point, DeKalb and all over Atlanta and all over the country, that are seeing labor shortages. They, you know, the immigration laws are much tighter. They have, speaking to, you know, a lot of the millennial workforce, they may have college degrees and just feel like the skilled labor jobs are beneath them, or they just don't want to take the wages that are being offered. And so I just kept meeting business owners that said, we just need good people. And so here's a workforce that is virtually invisible, and a group of people who really desire to work. They're hard workers and you know, like I've said, have a lot of different levels of education. So them getting an opportunity to work has a big impact. So companies are seeing that as they start to bring on these people. There's a little bit of onboarding, a little bit of training that's probably a little unique to them. But once they get a hang of what they're doing, they're going to be incredibly loyal. And it's been really neat to see several companies speak to that and see that firsthand in the area.
What are some of those companies you're working with?
Yeah, so I mean, we're about 7 months into the process. So one of the first companies here in DeKalb that hired a couple refugees is Mr. Mosquito Company. And they're doing good work in the area, largest in the Atlanta area now. And they brought on a few refugees and have had, you know, great experience with them. Just had a couple of folks hired at Synergy Systems, which is a company in DeKalb that does street sweeping for parking lots and strip malls and different venues. So they brought a few guys on. And what was interesting about that situation is there's a Larn Construction is a large construction company located here in Atlanta. And they have spun off a nonprofit that's training refugees in DeKalb on construction, different construction certificate programs. So they're doing welding and electrical and plumbing. And so these guys that want to go to that training program, they have to find a job that's either first or third shift job so they can go and access that training program. And so there's been several companies like Synergy that have said, hey, we can give them a job third shift and they can still go and earn these certificate programs so they can continue to have better opportunities down the road.
Lastly for you, are there other companies, other nonprofits that you're able to partner with that are also helping refugees in different ways?
Yeah, there's a lot of really unique things going on. So Fresh Harvest is a company that's pulling produce in from local farms and they're doing some great work and have hired refugees. Dwell House Cleaning is a cleaning company based in Decatur. And hiring refugees and doing work all over Atlanta. Refuge Coffee Company is a really unique coffee company that's just started. They've got a coffee truck in downtown Clarkston and would love to have you come and get some coffee there. And they've hired three refugees at this point and continuing to grow. So
Well, very cool. Again, you can find them online, AmpleoRecruiting.com. They're on Twitter at Amplio_recruit or at Chris Chansey. Find them on Instagram and LinkedIn as well. Let's get to our fourth member of our panel, Alicia Haley-Daniel. She is with the Assistant Directors Team Workshop. AdTeamWorkshop.com is the website. And as I look around the table, we've been talking about the fact that we got people in a lot of cool businesses. You're in TV and film. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have been in TV and film since I graduated college, 9 years now. I went straight to L.A. To do a Directors Guild of America program. It's a program where they train assistant directors on how to be proper assistant directors because they felt that people weren't being trained properly and they were just being assistant directors. So this program accepts 1,000 applicants a year, and out of that, only 14 were chosen. So I got in that program, and ever since then, I've just been working on shows like ER, Criminal Minds, Land of the Lost. I can go on, but most recently I've been with the Tyler Perry Group freelancing as their key second AD for the past 4 years.
We'll talk more about Tyler Perry, but I do want to ask you, I mean, you hear the stories all the time about people who want to be aspiring actors and actresses, go to Hollywood all the time. They end up waiting tables and waiting for their big break. Is it easier for somebody who's willing to work behind the camera to go there and get work right away?
Absolutely it is. And actually, it's funny you say that. In LA, it's almost harder to get a job as a server than it is to get a job on a set because all of the actors and actresses are taking up those jobs. So it's a lot more harder to get that job. But behind the scenes is, I think, where people get their start because you get to find out what you want to do. If you want to be a costumer, if you want to be a set decorator, there's so many different avenues. If you are a good painter, if you're a construction worker, if you cook, there's catering, there's craft services. So you don't know what you want to do until you're actually on set at that entry level position, just like any job has. The TV and film offers entry level production assistant positions.
So what does a second assistant director do?
We manage the cast and crew. So we're basically managers. We make sure people are where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, what they know what they're doing. When changes arise, we have to let them know. I know when you get a job, they say your call time, well, your job, your start job starts at 8 a.m. Well, we tell them your call time is 8 a.m. and we make sure they're there versus just allowing them to come on their own. We have to physically call them or text them or email them the day before because it's our job to make sure everyone shows up on time, where they're supposed to be, location details, map details. We facilitate an effective day on set. So we have a tight schedule. We make sure the director gets everything they need in order to stay on budget, stay on schedule, and essentially the producer's eyes and ears on set.
So it's like part CEO, part babysitter, which can be hard for the Hollywood types, right? Because they're notorious for having fun and being difficult to round up.
Exactly.
That's got to be a challenge. Is a second assistant director, is that like a stepping stone to being a director, a Steven Spielberg, some of those?
It can be. A lot of people have moved from second assistant director to first assistant director, and then sometimes they go straight to director, or they go to another position called a unit production manager, which is the person who oversees the AD. So they're a producer type. So that is a lot of possibility, and sometimes you're fine with being a producer. You're really in line with producing because you work hands in hand with the producer and you help them fulfill their goals when they can't be there because they're doing other creative things.
Tell us about Assistant Directors Team Workshop.
Well, this Assistant Directors Team Workshop was started because, as we know, Georgia is booming. There's like 40 shows or more shooting at a time, and that we can't find enough skilled people in Georgia to cover those jobs. So there's a lot of people hired from LA or New York or Florida or New Orleans because the workers here are just not as skilled. And for me myself, when I go to hire production assistants, I can never hire someone I know because everyone I know, they're busy. You can't keep a good person to yourself, which is understandable. So we hire green people, what we call green people. And that's someone that has no experience, but they want to get experience, which is a good thing, but it can also be a detriment. They usually cannot pick up as fast with what's going on. And therefore, they put themselves at a disadvantage. They may get the job because they know somebody, their uncle, but if they don't pick up as fast and they're more of a detriment than a help, the next time we have a job, we don't look to them. So the Assistant Directors Team Workshop is to get you prepared first, because the more you know, as you know, the further you will go, and that's when you get opportunity. So we prepare you with terminology, things like a 10-1, Things like DP. So when you go to set, you know what those things are. Our Apple box. You don't go looking around for a box that's shaped like an apple, because that's not what an Apple box is. We tell you what that really is. And we also teach you how to create legal documents such as call sheets, production reports, SAG Exhibit Gs. And these documents are not only essential to the production so you can know what's going on, but if you want your show to ever get made on TV or get a distributor, you have to have those documents to show that you actually did something. So we go through that hands-on in our workshop.
I want to jump over to Ara Bedell for a minute from the Decide to Cap Development Authority, because we were talking about off the air, this kind of goes hand in hand with some of the stuff that you guys are doing to bring business, to bring movies, TV productions to DeKalb County.
Sure. So naturally, as organizations are interested in filming movies, television series, what have you, they go to the state, right? But subsequently, they end up trickling down to the county level. And I have with me here today Shelby Jackson, who leads that function for Decide to Cap. She receives many of the requests for site selection and projects, and she provides help with facilitating permits for that. And we are pretty competitive here in the county, because in other places, you have to pay for that. People don't know that right now you don't have to pay here in DeKalb. So that makes us really ripe for a lot of independent films and things like that. And so we are also growing the film talent here in DeKalb County, working with the Georgia Film Academy and our workforce development with the county, and creating an environment and programs and other resources to help cultivate film and industry talent. So this is a nice complement to what we do.
I guess for Joe Schmoes like myself, it's pretty cool to know that you got A-list movie stars in some of the neighborhoods in DeKalb shooting.
But Sleepy Hollow is filmed here.
But for some of the revenue that it brings in, you're bringing the cast and the crews and everything.
Absolutely. So by them being here, identifying us as a site, we're absolutely generating revenue for the county. Also, it makes us an attractive place to live. You know, more and more people become curious. And when you think about young people, they are very interested in the film industry. So that helps us in terms of attracting residents here. And everybody's on board. We have our DeKalb County school systems that have film programs in the schools. Our colleges have film programs. So we are very ripe to support the pipeline of film and television talent.
Alicia, how can people find out more about Assistant Director's Team Workshop?
They can find out more by visiting our website at www.adteamworkshop.com. They can follow us on Facebook and like us for updates at facebook.com/assistant directors team workshop, or on Twitter and Instagram at adteamworkshop. And I just want to quickly piggyback on what she said. Ironically, I don't know if you guys heard of the movie Single Moms Club, but it was shot all in Decatur. And when I came in this reception area, I said, wow, I've seen this before. We shot an office scene in that reception area after hours, looking outside in the street and in some of the office offices over here. So, yeah, we've shot Agnes Scott. We've been in DeKalb County.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Let's get back to the other side of the table real quick as we get ready to wrap up. Vince and Chris, as you guys run your businesses, Melt and Amplio Recruiting, what are some of the lessons you guys have learned? Because we'd like to educate would-be entrepreneurs, would-be CEOs, people who aspire to that. What are some of the successes, some of the failures? Maybe the failures are some of the most interesting parts.
Well, I think the main thing is just follow your passion, and never waver in your faith to be successful, and never be, you know, we have a saying is like, you know, the only failure in business is the failure to try. And so you can't ever be afraid of falling off the saddle or getting your knees skinned or anything like that. But just pursue your passion relentlessly, never give up and never waver in the doubt. You recognize as an entrepreneur that like, life is not a snapshot, it's a motion picture. So, appropriate metaphor, but things can change so quickly. But the Atlanta metro area, DeKalb County, Decatur, to me, is if we're not the hottest market in the country, we're probably the top five. And if you look at the motion picture and film industry, you look at the sports, the film and television is going to have a $7 billion economic impact in 2015. Probably by the end of 18, it'll be over and beyond, 15 billion, which is, you know, gargantuan. And then it is a driver for jobs, and it is a driver to be able to help others create opportunities that, you know, even if they come from refugees or low-income situations, that they have as much of an opportunity to thrive and survive as, you know, people coming out of traditional college-educated environments. But the main thing as an entrepreneur, particularly those of us that survived the recession, which was, it was a great lesson for everybody, but it's just to never give up, pursue your passion relentlessly, and just have a great belief in what you do. Because if you can maintain that, the breaks are going to fall your way eventually. It's just a matter of staying, you know, in the game and believing that you can win.
Chris, you're hearing from a business veteran here. You said you're about 7 months into your business. How about you?
Yeah, a lot of good wisdom there. I don't know if I have much to follow on that, but one thing that has been really helpful for me is I just keep coming back to this quote, wrong turns make better maps. And I feel like we've made a lot of wrong turns, but we're learning a lot through the process. So a really quick story that's pretty humorous is one of the refugees that we were working with recently, he was coming from Ethiopia, and his situation, he was a school teacher. He was teaching computer programming in a college, and his school was targeted by a terrorist group. And so he fled his home country, he went to a refugee camp, and then winds up in Atlanta, in Decatur. And so I had a company that was looking for a computer programmer, the same exact programming that he had taught in his school. So we said, man, this is a great match. This guy's going to get, you know, $50,000 job with benefits, the whole package. He was so excited. He goes in for the interview. He looks great. He nails the interview. They give him a computer programming test on a computer. And he says, I can't do this. Well, what's the problem? Well, I taught computer programming on a chalkboard.
Right.
And so, you know, I think coming back to that idea of wrong turns make better maps, just asking good questions, not being afraid to fail, and just continuing to keep the process moving and just learn as you go.
That's awesome.
Well, I want to add one thing that he said is that, one of our mantras is goodwill is good business. So if you're out in the community doing a lot of the right things, a lot of the right things are going to emanate out of that. And, you know, his point about giving these, you know, the refugees the opportunity as an employer, if I've got an individual coming in the room that has survived what a lot of these refugees or survivors have, you know for sure that they're going to be a great employee based on what they've been through to get to that point.
And that goes for veterans as well.
Correct. Well, and veterans is big time because, you know, these are some of the, and student athletes as well. So these are people that if you look at them, whether they have the education or not, the language or whatever it is, their life experiences have prepared them to be great employees. And you have to, I encourage all of my colleagues, is just to look at the totality of somebody's, you know, life experience and job experience, and not necessarily the number of degrees or things that they have. And so, but I think this community overall, we work with a ton of organizations, is as a compassionate a community as I've ever seen it. And we continue to see that compassion rise. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of people from all over the world want to relocate to Decatur, DeKalb County, the Atlanta metro areas, because of the compassion and the value system that this area has.
And that seems like a great place to leave the discussion today. I want to thank our guests, Vince Thompson, the founder, chairman, and CEO of Melt. You can find them at meltatl.com. They're on Twitter at meltatl. Arab Adele, vice president of marketing communications for Decide DeKalb Development Authority. They're online, decidedecab.com, and on Twitter at decidedecab. Alicia Haley Daniels from Assistant Directors Team Workshop. AdTeamWorkshop.com is the website. They're on Twitter at AdTeamWorkshop. And Chris Chancey, the former mascot, current CEO and founder of Amplio Recruiting. AmplioRecruiting.com is the website. They're on Twitter at Amplio_recruit. I want to thank you all for joining us today. For executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll be back next Friday morning at 10 o'clock. So make sure to join us then on DeKalb Business Radio.